If you are here right now and you think that you've been a Christian your whole life, what does that mean? The Bible says there's no such thing. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. See, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. At some point, you must go from death to life. You could be 3, you could be 13, you could be 63, but at some point, you must go from death to life because you are born into sin equaling death.
Hi friends, good day, and welcome back to Live in the Light. You can find us online at liveinthelight.ca. Live in the Light is a teaching ministry designed to see radical transformation through the revelation of God's Word. We're thankful that you join us here today. I'm the host, Craig Turnbull, and with me, as always, is our teacher, Pastor Robbie Simons. And Robbie, today's message, The Suitcase of Hope, has us packing our spiritual bags, as it were, right?
It really does, yeah. And it kind of sounds funny to say it that way, but it's very powerful. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we do have suitcases that we need to pack. And Craig, you're getting ready to go away on a holiday or somewhere else. It's important what you pack. And as believers, it's important that we know what God has granted to us and the hope that we have. So we've taken the metaphor of a suitcase and we're applying it now to our lives in 1 Peter 1 and say, hey, what is in your hope suitcase? Well, be excited because it's all amazing stuff. Not one item here will not be used. And so we're praying our listeners today will be super encouraged, and just want to encourage you, if this is blessing you, you want to get a copy of this message again on our website, let us know that you're listening, as so many of you have done. And just as we seek to see God, see your life change through the power of the Spirit and the truth of his word.
All right, well, let's get our bags packed to the suitcase of hope today. 1 Peter chapter 1, and let's go now to our teacher, Pastor Robbie Simons.
It's faith that Jesus Christ has died for your sins, and he's the only one who can save you. Faith is the determining factor of leading to a hope that understands we have an inheritance, and we are being kept as God's children for a time ready to be revealed when Jesus Christ returns. That is so amazingly awesome. So when someone says to me, I say, how long have you been a Christian? And they say, I've been a Christian my whole life. Incorrect. That is theologically impossible. If you are here right now and you think that you've been a Christian your whole life, what does that mean? The Bible says there's no such thing. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. See, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. At some point, you must go from death to life. You could be 3, you could be 13, you could be 63, but at some point, you must go from death to life because you are born into sin equaling death. A lot of people don't like that. That's just so true. It's love. It's what the Bible says over and over again. But the glory is that, how long have you been a Christian? Well, you can point to the time. I'm not saying the exact day, but you can point to the time where you know you were dead and now you're alive. Because of the faith that is placed in Jesus Christ, that we become his child and we will never, ever be let go. See, when God has caused you to be born again, you're his. You're his forever. God has you kept in his house, in the family of God, and he's waiting to reveal to you his salvation. You see there in verse 5, it says, a salvation ready to be revealed. Loved ones, picture this. You know, a masterpiece painting, and there's a cloth over top of it. And you just imagine that right now, and the cloth is over top, and you're just waiting for the unveiling of the masterpiece. That's what God's got in heaven right now. The masterpiece of how we were designed to be in perfection with him. And one day so soon, that cloth will be removed. And the masterpiece of who you are in Jesus Christ and all its beauty and glory and all because of him, that will be revealed. The question becomes, God is ready. Here's the question. Are we ready? Are we living in such a way that we are ready for our salvation to be revealed? Here's what Peter's doing. When you're filled with hope, you're filled with readiness. When you're filled with hope, you're not filling your suitcase with the world. You're not packing it full of earthly riches and earthly ambitions and self stuff. When you're filled with Jesus Christ and hope in Jesus Christ, you pack this with the things of Jesus Christ. So let's ask that question right now. Well, let's do it in the negative. Here are the top 5 indications I'm not ready for my salvation to be revealed. Here are the top 5 indications my life is not on the journey of hope as it should. Here's the first indication I'm not ready. Number 1, I live for the here and now. I am living right now for the here and for the now. What does that mean? It means my thoughts, my desires, my ambitions, they are worldly, they are momentary, and they are temporary. If I long for the here and now, then really what I'm doing is I'm thinking about, I want to get more stuff, I want to get nicer stuff, I want material wealth. My hope is placed on things not in Christ. I'm overly concerned about my appearance. I think everything has to do with here. I want people to think well of me. That's a sign you're not ready, according to what God is saying to us today in 1 Peter. Here's the second sign I'm not ready for my salvation. I focus mostly on myself. If truth be told, I'm selfish. I live for me, my peace, my quiet, my comfort, my happiness. I don't think a lot about others because I'm consumed with thoughts of self-gain. See, because I lack eternal hope, then I tend to only dwell in temporary self, and it comes to the point where I get very irritated when my life gets interrupted by people that don't announce themselves and where they want to take my time away from me. That's a sign that I'm not ready for my salvation to be revealed. Thirdly, I am controlling and or fearful. See, because I believe that life is really about now, because I'm so focused on the here and now, I panic to make it as much about me as possible because I feel that this is it. So I start forcing my stuff upon my life. And what this does, it creates fear in me and it creates control in me. And when I do that, I squeeze out God in order to push me in. That's a sign I'm not ready for my salvation. I'm not thinking and looking as I should. Fourthly, I'm generally disappointed, more disappointed than grateful. Generally speaking, I am more disappointed in life than grateful in life. Why? Well, because my expectations are based on a worldly level. And because I'm looking for the world to satisfy me, I'm setting myself up for great disappointment. Because my vision is temporary and on worldly things, then it's only a matter of time before God lets me down and many others in my life. See, because I'm so focused horizontally and I can't see vertically, I place my hope in that which cannot satisfy. So again, I start making people try to fulfill things they can't possibly fulfill in my life. And so therefore, I'm disappointed and I become ungrateful. I will demand from people what they can't deliver. I've misplaced my hope. It's not in Christ. I find myself questioning God's goodness and I often wonder, is God really faithful? Because you're looking on a level that can't possibly satisfy. That's a sign I'm not ready. Here's the last sign, fifth sign. I will lack motivation and I will lack, of course, hope. I will lack hope. I don't have the things that Peter is saying today. Why? Because my vision is temporary, because it is worldly. And because life is inevitably going to be hard, it's going to be hard for everyone, then when life's difficulties come, I suffer from hopelessness because, again, I'm focusing on the hope which cannot fulfill. Worldly, temporary. Because I fail to see my true treasure, riches, and salvation in Christ, and because I'm looking for that in this world, I find myself saying often, what's the point? I give up. I succumb to the lies of the enemy that things will never improve. And if I'm honest, I often think eternal life is too far away. I can't keep thinking about that. So loved ones, those are signs that we're not ready for hope, but I don't want discouragement right now. I do value the time of showing us in conviction where we need to change because God uses that, but let it be a voice of God wooing you now to himself. Let it be a showing you of where you have been, maybe where you shouldn't have been, but let it now, this is what it does for me, let it now see God's voice of love drawing you to the place where hope can truly be found, where satisfaction is met in him. Let it work in that way. Let it be a sign the devil has lied to you, the world has lied to you, and let it now just say that is not true. My satisfaction is not found in this world. My satisfaction is only found in Jesus Christ. Let the Lord say to you, my child, there's a salvation that is ready to be revealed to you in the last time. You must hear it this way. You must believe it this way. You must love it this way. There is more to life than this. Hallelujah. Right? There is more to life than right now. But you must speak and live as though it is true. Why? Because it is. Because it is true. Listen to what Paul Tripp says on this theme. He says this. He says, because we live as this world is all there is, we are perennially demanding and disappointed, thinking that we've been dealt a particularly difficult hand. So because of this, we envy the people around us who appear to have what we don't have. We find it hard to celebrate the success of others. And with this assumption that this is our final destination being the world, we constantly then want more and better. See what he's saying? If you think this is all there is, then your whole goal and objective is to become this. So you spend all your time and energy trying to gather stuff in this world. But what he's saying is, what the Bible's saying, what God's saying to us, say, if that's what you're doing, you're setting yourself up for misery. So he says, because we want this life to give us more and better, then we're never able to say, I have enough. We possess too much, eat too much, spend too much, dream too much, demand too much, complain too much, expect too much, keep score too much, we ask too much, and we are disappointed too much. He says, you see, we don't need a better now. This is brilliant maturity in Christ. He says, we don't need a better now. What we need is forever or hope to reshape our here and now. You hear that? He said, we don't need this life to get better. What we need is to focus on the life that will be perfect, that will then alter our life here and now, to reshape how we think here and now. See, if you're looking for satisfaction in this world, you will start to find out you'll never be satisfied, which means that you are made for something beyond this world. C.S. Lewis said it way better. He said it this. He says, if I found myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. There are some people here today right now, you have been spending years, if not decades, trying to satisfy yourself with things that let you down every time. There's some young people here, there's some teenagers in the room right now. You have been wasting years of looking for your fulfillment. And in fact, in some ways, even me speaking right now, you don't like me. That's okay. But I speak to you in love right now. Hey, listen, you know what? If you're there, I was you at 17. I was you at 19. I was you at 21. And I thought life was all about me and the desires for my pleasure as I wanted it. And I just pray it won't take you as long as it took me to bottom out and suffer misery and despair with what the world can never, ever provide that is only found in Jesus Christ. You know, one of the greatest things that ever happened when I got saved in Jesus Christ, it was almost, this is why passages like this, that's why Colossians 3, 1 and 2 is really the theme of my life. Set not your heart on things on the earth, but things on that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. See, because for me, it was, I'm set free from the lies of the world. I'm set free from the temporary riches and pleasure. I'm set free from falling to the lies that everything is about here and now, and it's not. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about glory. It's about his beauty. I have never, ever stopped rejoicing in that truth that this life is not about here and now. This life is about my inheritance that awaits in Jesus Christ. And you today can be confronted with the reality that in Jesus Christ, you have this truth, that my inheritance awaits. And this will carry you through so many difficult times. Because you understand, again, it's not about now. It's about what will be. If you're not packing this, you're crazy. You got to, every day, loved ones, every day, you get this out, fold it up, and get ready to put it on, but put it in your hope suitcase. You know what Peter's saying right now? Let's move on to item number 3 now. It's this, my faith will be tested. My faith, this is a good one. You got to pack this in your hope suitcase. My faith will be tested. Isn't God's word amazing? Look at verse 6. In this you rejoice. What do we rejoice in, Peter? Our salvation. That our salvation is going to be revealed in the last time. He says, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials. So that, see, here's the purpose. What's the purpose? So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes. Gold is such an enduring substance. Our faith is more precious than gold. Even tested by fire, gold endures, yet gold will decay. But our faith is greater than that in Christ, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Here's the point. With genuine hope comes genuine faith. And with genuine faith, ready, comes genuine testing. With genuine faith comes genuine testing. How are we tested? Verses 6 and 7 tell us. Through trials. Though now, for a little while, you have been grieved by various trials. We are tested through trials. Why trials? Because it's the trials of life that strengthen our faith. What happens when someone lifts weights? When someone lifts weights, muscles grow stronger and they grow larger. But this happens through a process of destroying and rebuilding. When you exercise the muscle, it actually rips and tears the muscle. But because the human body is awesome, glory to God, God designed it. It's just amazing when you think about these things. The process of ripping and tearing, the muscles actually repair itself and then come back bigger and stronger. The point is, in order to grow the muscle, you must hurt the muscle. But active muscles get strong. Inactive muscles, therefore, get flabby. The same is true with faith. When faith is active, when faith is challenged, when faith is stressed, when faith is stretched, it gains strength. When faith is inactive, lazy, or apathetic, our faith becomes the same. It becomes lazy, apathetic, and inactive. This is why God then sends trials in our lives, because it's the trials of our lives that strengthen our faith. See, if you're exposed to any teaching that says that life is just about being happy, healthy, wealthy in Jesus Christ, who's teaching you that? Who's teaching you the truth that the Christian life is supposed to be this easy, rose-colored, everything's fine all the time? It's right here in God's Word. God's Word says, part of my will be trials to strengthen your faith, to prepare you for the reality of what's coming, and to see my glory seen through your life. I mean, it's unmistakable in this text. Again, align your expectations with what the Bible actually teaches. I keep telling you that because I don't want you to be shocked when life gets hard in Jesus Christ. I don't want you to be caught off guard when all of a sudden God's saying, my will are trials for your life. He's promising that right now. And many of us are in trials that we're trying to escape from, but literally we could be trying to escape the very will of God for our lives. Do I think this is easy? I think this is so hard. But I am learning slowly but surely within my trials to stop long enough and to say by faith, I thank you, God. Although I cannot see and don't understand fully, I believe there is purpose within what you're doing right now. You know the word that stood out to me in verse 6? The word grieved. The word grieved. If now for a little while you have been grieved. You know what this means? It means trials will cause distress. It means we're guaranteed sorrow in the will of God. All of us in our own way. Your way is different than my way and vice versa. But there will be grief in life. You know what this is saying to me too? That the trials that God allows at times, this grief though, is to be used for some of the greatest times of joy in the presence of God, even in the midst of our sorrow. This is the paradox. This is the seemingly oxymoron of biblical life in Christ. There's a joy in sorrow. And in the sorrow, we find joy. In a way, listen, in a way, you can never know otherwise. That's why every man or woman of God who's ever been greatly used in Christ have all gone through the greatest levels of suffering in their own way. Why? Because you cannot get a faith with such strength and with such power other than trials of suffering that test the faith, that rip the faith, that cause the faith to come back so much stronger. See, if you think hope means that life will be perfect, you're completely missing the point. Like, please, let's just put that out on the table right now. If you think living with hope means that God causes your life to line up just as you want, that is absolutely unbiblical. You just get that thought out of your mind. God's will is not being organized to our will. God's will is he knows we don't, we trust, we count. He is faithful. He loves us. But the ultimate undoing and supplying of his faithfulness will be realized in perfection when Jesus Christ returns. That's why we look to the future to change our present. That's why we don't try to see the hope in the present in order to change our future. This is so key. This is summarizing so much we learned today. It's hope in the future that changes our present. It can't be hope in the present that we seek to change our future. See, think on that for a second. This is so important for the mature Christian. You have to focus on what will be. That changes now. You can't focus on what is and hoping to change what will be. That's the secret. That's the power. That's the glory of the Christian life. And notice in verses 6 and 7, Peter talks about gold being put through fire. Why? Well, the gold through fire brings out the impurities, makes it more authentic. But as tough as gold is, again, it will perish. But Peter's point here is genuine faith will never, ever perish. Genuine faith gets knocked down, but genuine faith gets back up again. And notice, loved ones, what's happening here. To have hope in Christ means that even trials have purpose. In fact, dare I say this, for the Christian, trials can actually become glorious. Again, I understand how hard that is. But it's what the Bible is saying. So if you are serious about Jesus Christ, know this. You will be put through the fire. I just have to make sure we're just staying truth today. But in the fire, we find what? We find humility. We find endurance. We find worship. We find freedom. We find joy. We find purity. We find strength. We find faith. We find hope. Those are the things that the fires of life bring. And if this is true, then in some way we can say by faith, my trials, as much as they bring heartache to my soul, they are a blessing in my life. That's the power of living with the hope of Jesus Christ. And there's a bunch of us in this room right now that you are in trials that I have no clue what it's like to be going through what you're going through. You are in the weight room of the Christian life suffering in these trials. But I say to you, that you will believe by faith what it says at the end there of verse 7. See the end of verse 7? Though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. See what he's saying there? If you don't give up, if you trust in God, if you persevere, if you look to him, at the moment he returns, this will be found to result in praise and glory and honor to him. That is so awesome. But listen. If you're on the journey to hope, if that's your destination, you gotta get this one on too. Gotta get this one on too, all right? You have to. If you think that my faith will not be tested and the Christian life is just some kind of coast ride along to, you're not reading the Bible. But today God says, if you get this in your suitcase, then when the trials and testing comes, you're not surprised and you're ready to persevere because of the hope. Loved ones, you got to get this in your hope suitcase. You have to. Here's our last item. Number 4 is this. Joy beyond words. My joy beyond words. Look at verses 8 and 9. Verses 8 and 9 says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him. And you rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Okay, this is where when I was in my study this week and looking at verses 8 and 9, I struggled so much because this is such a whole sermon right here. I mean, this makes my heart leap. I jump up and down and just say, wow, I can't believe how awesome this text is. But I got like 3 minutes to go through such a glorious part. Notice verse 9, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I think Peter's trying to make a point here in regards to hope. Notice what hope does. Notice hope brings love. Notice hope causes us to believe or brings faith. Notice hope brings joy and vice versa. Notice love brings hope and faith brings hope and all of these bring joy. Faith, hope, love, and they all result in joy. Imagine that. Just the fruit of the Spirit all working together, how amazing it is. And notice the power of faith and the power of hope and the power of love is that even when we cannot see, we see perfectly. You see that? Right there in verse 8, even though we cannot see physically, we see spiritually, we see perfectly, and we see the glory, verse 9, obtaining the outcome of your faith. See, it's all about what will be. It's our destination is hope. Our direction then is holiness, the salvation of your soul. See, Peter saw Jesus. Peter walked with Jesus. Peter got to hug Jesus. What about us who love Jesus Christ? We have not seen him with our eyes. We have not been able to hug him with our arms, but we love him. We love him, why? We love him because he has saved us. We love him because he first loved us. And what does that do? It brings us so much joy. At least it's supposed to. The hope of who he is, the hope of what he has done, it brings us so much joy. And there's so many places you can go with this. This week, in the process of moving buildings, apparently I lost a book from my library, an important book actually to me, that someone on our staff found in some other box somewhere in the church somewhere. And I looked at it again, and it was a gift from my grandparents. This was given to me in Lent of 1982, so I was about 8 years old. And this is so my grandparents, my granny and grandpa. My grandpa was a pastor of the Anglican Church in small town Ontario, a very faithful man to the Word of God. And they grew up, trust me, they loved the hymns, all right? So when I was given a hymn book, I mean, this was, I go to their house, I'd have to stand beside the piano, my grandpa playing, and sing these hymns. And I didn't have a very good voice, you know what I'm saying? But this is what we did, you know? So as an 8-year-old, I was trying to keep up with all the excitement of the moment, all right? All right, so anyways, but this is a gift. May God bless you from granny and grandpa. Bless their hearts. They're in heaven right now rejoicing. And they quoted this verse from this hymn. I guess it's a children's hymn back on. Oh, by the way, Robert Simons, you can't call me that. You're not allowed to, all right? My name's not Robert. Let me just say this. I think this is helpful. The reason I'm called Robbie is because my mom's brother died when he was 5 years old of cancer. So that was my uncle Robbie. Of course, I never met him, but he was always known as Robbie. I was named after him. And so it was very important to my mom that my name really, I'm officially Robert, not allowed, but I'm Robbie. But I'm Robbie because I was named after my uncle. All right, enough about me. Just, I'd like to explain that because some men have a hard time calling me Robbie. All right, anyways, let's move on, okay? So, hymn 686, verse 2. 'Tis good for boys and maidens, sweet hymns to Christ to sing. 'Tis meet the children's voices should praise the children's king. It's so great. So I looked up hymn 686, and I want to see the last verse of the verses. Here's the final verse of this hymn for children. Soon in the golden city the boys and girls shall play, and through the dazzling mansions rejoice an endless day. This is what we're called to. This is the whole point. In so many ways, people have said it. O Christ, prepare thy children with that triumphant throng to pass the burnished portals and sing the eternal song. Amen? Amen? This is what we're called to do, to rejoice in the reality of who we are in Jesus Christ. You see what Peter says? He says in verse 8, with joy that is inexpressible. That phrase literally means higher than speech. It means joy beyond words. It's a joy so profound I cannot express it in the language of any choosing. For many of us, this phrase, joy inexpressible, is a far-off concept. But I say to you today, you don't have to believe that. You can believe that this joy is in you as a child of God being saved in Jesus Christ. And my question for us today is, as we see joy inexpressible, do we believe that that literally lives within us today? What's the secret? The secret for joy inexpressible is verse 9. It's hope. It's the outcome of your faith. The outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Don't you see what Peter's doing? He's like, to the suffering church, to the people who are discouraged, to the believers who are trying to get through another day, he says, as long as you live and focus and love and long for the hope that is within you, the hope of glory, the salvation of your souls, then you too can put this item in your suitcase. For some of you right now, you think, no, that can never happen. You are falling lies to the enemy. And this may not happen in a split second, but this can happen in your life, that you will be filled with such a joy as you start to pack your suitcase with things that don't rot. And you start to pack your hope suitcase with the things that endure forever, that you will know and you can believe that this joy, beyond my ability to explain it, to articulate it, will live in my heart. Oh, God, may it be so for this church. Don't you see what Peter's doing? He's like, man, you got your hope suitcase, man. Again, are you packing it with trash? I mean, here's the reality. A lot of us, we're trying to fill our hope with things that just will not work. Money, sex, career, ambition, whatever it is, every time you put it in, it'll rot and die. But when you fill your life with these things and you start to wear the beauty of the joy found in the Lord, that will last literally forever. Hey, listen, God's not just going through the motions right now, saying these things to us and hoping that maybe a couple people might believe it. He means what he says. And he says to you today, I want to change your life through the reality of my gospel being lived out. I want you, my child, to know more joy than you ever known ever before, because that's who I am and that's what I've done. It's available to you. It's available to me. God help us.
Well, a convicting message today for sure. We encourage you to be praying that God would help you as you choose to pursue Him daily in your personal study and in prayer. Need some extra encouragement? Well, we have our previous messages and series available for you to listen online at liveinthelight.ca. Thanks for tuning us in today, and we hope you'll be back with us again tomorrow at Live in the Light.